You're listening to Radio Mayapur with the best devotional, meditation, kirtan music, and inspirational podcast. This is Radio Mayapur.
Hare Krishna, welcome to Radio Mayapur. This is your host, Krishna Sevini Dasi from Sridham Mayapur. And today we are very, very happy to have our guest, Her Grace Nitai Sevini Mataji from ISKCON Vishakhapatnam. She was born in Mumbai to Pushtimark family, and she joined ISKCON in the year 1997, and she has been preaching worldwide in different languages. She completed her PhD from Andhra Pradesh University recently, and she is the founder and principal of Divine Touch School, and which imparts spiritual knowledge to the children from very young age. So we are very, very happy to have her here in our studio, Radio Mayapur. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
So can you say something about yourself, how you met the ISKCON devotees or Hare Krishna devotees? What inspired you to come to this, you know, point in your life?
So it was like this. I got a summer camp pamphlet. So it was I was in grade 7, and my father once walked home saying that ISKCON in Hyderabad, I was in Hyderabad at that time, is organizing a summer camp. Mm-hmm. So would you like to join me and my sister? We were not that keen because we thought a summer camp in the temple, but you know, how would it be? Mm-hmm. But then my father was insisting, okay, if you like it, you continue, otherwise, you know, you can leave it midway. Okay. So we both went and we joined the summer camp. It was very interesting. For the first time in our life, we were introduced to things like there are other planets, you know. See, nowadays, the kids are watching YouTube videos and all. But what I'm talking about my life, I'm talking in 1992, you know.
Okay.
So there was no such thing like YouTube. Mm-hmm. So when we were told in summer camp about different planets, how Lord creates, you know, and how you can take a birth in a body that you want to, depending on your karma. So it was all very fascinating. So at the end of the camp, they had an exam and I won it. And the first prize was a free trip to Mayapur Dham with family.
Wow.
So that's how I landed in Mayapur in the summer of 94 and with my family. And this was the first time I saw a spiritual world. I was amazed. When we came, that was late in the evening, so okay. We didn't know that this is right on the bank of Ganga, and when we were just about to take rest and all, we saw people are already getting up and taking bath, and we were wondering what are they doing in the middle of the night. Why would somebody get up at 2 o'clock in the night and start taking bath, you know?
Wow.
And then okay, fine, so we also took bath, and then we entered the temple hall, and I think that was the moment, you see, which changed my life forever, when they opened the curtains of Radha Madhav and Ashtasakhis. And I'm seeing here hundreds of devotees raising their hands in the air, chanting. That gave me goosebumps. I said, I never saw a place like this. It was so beautiful.
It's Mayapur which gave you turnover in your life. Yeah.
I mean, of course, there are many other things. There is something like the initial stimuli, but then there are certain things that happen for you to continue in your Krishna consciousness and go forward. But I think the first thing could be the summer camp where I'm, you know, my Siksha Guru who was taking the summer camp was very impressive. The way he spoke and the way he presented and delivered for young kids like us. We were just school-going children. It was very impressive. And then again, entering into this Mayapur Dham was also very, very special. So I had an amazing time. And at that time was His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Guru Maharaj Vyasa Puja. I didn't know him at that time. So our Siksha Guru who brought us for Mayapur Yatra, he told us that his guru's birthday celebrations are happening, and if we want, we can go and sit and watch it. Wow. So myself and my sister and all of us, we were sitting and watching the Vyasa Puja celebrations. It didn't make much sense to us because we were very young. But only thing we understood is that every time somebody was coming on the mic and saying that
something,
that how incapable they are of glorifying and how, you know, they are so insignificant, but still, you know, they're making an attempt to glorify. And I tell you, honestly, Me and my sister were making fun, saying that if they're so incapable of glorifying, why are they wasting our time? Why can't they just make for somebody else who is capable of glorifying and not give us a whole class on that? You know? So like that, we had many funny moments when we saw devotees dancing.
It's amazing. You know, what I heard from you, the days are nice means what you're saying, it started from Mayapur, because most of them, they come Mayapur and they really love Mayapur. They don't think of leaving. That's really wonderful, Mataji. So your this recent trip to coming to Mayapur, what came to your mind? Can you share us something about this, you know, recent current festival? What came in your mind when you're coming here, you know, something about it?
Oh, now this trip?
Yeah, this trip.
Yeah, basically I came for Parikram. Okay. So because you see, I've been so busy. I mean, I took initiation in 97. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, and since then, so many programs, yatras, preaching, traveling. I never had that time for myself. I'm a mother for two sons. Wow. And then the temple and the school and the other preachings that I do. So this time I really wanted to have this 3-4 days of exclusive time, and I wanted to do parikrama. So of course I couldn't walk and do the parikrama, because I wanted to do it in short. So I thought to have an express parikrama in the car and then have, you know, darshan of all the dhams, all the kshetras, mm-hmm. in this 9 dweep. So that was my purpose of this visit this time, you know.
Okay. You have a lot of people coming. Mataji, can we take a picture with you? I understand. Yeah, it happens. So Mataji, what are the books that changed your life? What made you so inspired that, yes, Prabhupada is Acharya, he has made this ISKCON. What changed your life? Which books made you, to inspire our listeners?
Not books, only one book. Prabhupada biography. Because along with Mayapur Yatra, when my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, came to Hyderabad for Rath Yatra, he used to come every year. They had again organized a program for summer camp winners to get a prize from Guru Maharaj's hand. So he gave Prabhupada's biography, and I started reading it. And it was so interesting for me. It was it was much more than a Bollywood story. Oh, there were so many things up and down, and an old man, all alone, he goes to a country where he doesn't know anybody. And how he teaches them our culture, he gets them married, shows them how to wear a sari, makes gulab jamuns for them, cooks for them, cleans for them, gives them good habits, and how time and again so many problems come in his life, and how Krishna intervenes, helps. It was all so fascinating. So I got this in month of July, but then school was going on. So my mom used to not allow me to read more than an hour. So once she goes to bed, I used to have a torchlight under the blanket and biography. And sometimes my sister used to blackmail me that I will someday tell your secret to mom, that this is what you do in the night. And for that, I had to do so many things, like ironing her school dress, packing her water bottle, everything I had to do just for keeping my secret. And I did it. I read the whole biography. And when I completed, I mean, you can imagine I was in grade 7. So what must be my age? Maybe what?
17, 18?
Not 17, 16, 18. Grade 7 is what? 12 years old. And I know, I don't know if you will believe it. But at that time, after reading the last page, I had tears in my eyes. And I was thinking, one day, I want to be part of the army of this old man. And, you know, and I want to do something for him. And at that time, it was just a little child's ambition, you can say. But I never thought that I could actually be one day inside ISKCON. You know, and it happened. You know, Prabhupada fulfilled my desire.
Wow. I have heard that you have been taking very good care of the children's camps and many other things. So what made you inspire even in this also? You know, we want to know more about you, Mataji, about these kids. You're taking very good care. You're taking very good care of kids. Even I heard in your website where you say that you had a very big dream of taking care of kids. I have seen this. So what made you so inspired, you know? Nowadays, people, they live, you know, they don't want to take kids. They're like, if one single child is enough for them, this is happening in family life. But what inspired you so much that you are very too much into kids and taking care of them? You want to give them spiritual knowledge, you know?
I always wanted to be a teacher. So even when I was a young girl, I used to always dress like a teacher and, you know, imitate my teacher, what she did in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And always had a dream that one day I should have a school and I should be teaching in the school. So when I joined this summer camp, then I won the prize. I came to Mayapur. Then when I went back, so my Siksha Guru said that you like to talk. Then why can't you talk about Krishna? So the next time he did summer camp, he asked me to talk in that summer camp, whereas the children were all of my age only. And he said, no, you talk. Whatever you learned from me, you speak with them. So I was good in retaining, like whatever I hear. So I used to copy him as it is. So, you know, I remember one thing that he used to tell us when we were in his summer camp, when we used to make noise or not listen, you know. So sometimes he used to angrily tell us, look, it's not that your parents are paying money for this. I'm doing it free of cost. Don't you make noise and don't you disturb me. I'm not going to tolerate all of your tantrums. You better keep quiet and hear properly what I'm saying, you know. He used to say that to us when we used to make noise as kids. And when he asked me to take the summer camp, I imitated him and said the same thing to the other children. And when my Siksha Guru heard that he was laughing, he said, you are a parrot. Whatever I say, you just copy. And I said, well, I just love doing it. So then I started teaching in the summer camp and that was going well. And then I thought, why not I just teach it to everybody? Because this summer camp made a difference in my life and I want to make a difference in everybody's life. So then when I first went to intermediate, that is class 11, I requested my civics ma'am that if you can give me every Saturday a holiday, I would like to go to other schools and preach about Krishna consciousness. So just specifically for me, she gave me holidays every Saturday. And then I used to wear my mother's saris and then I used to go to the school and then I used to preach there. But then, you know, all said and done, it was not allowed to do it like this straightforward. So I used to call it as moral science classes. So I'll just talk about good habits and all. So they used to allow me to go and interact with the students. Okay. But then what I started doing is, you know,
was it done in school, normal schools?
Yeah, normal schools. Just go on Saturday and give them a moral science class, a value education class.
Just good habits.
A good habit, some nice
not
stories.
Religious.
Nothing really. That's what I told them. But what I did was different. So after 2 months, the principal called me. She said, I don't think we can allow you to continue. I said, ma'am, what did I do wrong? She said, in our school, we have Muslims and Hindu and all different community students. And I don't know, little girl, what you are teaching them. But they've all started chanting Hare Krishna before eating the food.
Wow.
And the Muslim parents have come to the school and complained that what is happening in your school? So you told me that you are going to teach some value education. What is this you are doing to them?
What is this? Everybody's taking chanting bags. Okay.
So he said, I don't think I can allow you to continue, you know. And I said, ma'am, I won't do it again. This is the last time. You know, maybe they have asked me some question and I must have told it, but please allow me to continue. So that's how, you know. So I started preaching in the schools. And then, of course, after I got married and had my own children, you know, then I was looking for a school for my son. Then I thought maybe I should open my own school because I was not happy with the normal schools outside. So then I started Divine Touch.
So Divine Touch School is running now for all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
You mean Muslim, Hindus, everybody goes in that?
Yeah, everybody.
Wow,
yes, everybody.
That's great.
But we have nice parents. Even though we teach Krishna consciousness, there are many Christian and Muslim parents, but they like it. They are very enthusiastic and very open. They say you are teaching something good, that's all right.
That's
not
all right.
But I would admit, not many. I have 350 children. Out of that, maybe around 10.
So you have from kindergarten till grade 12,
yes.
Is it like
No. From kindergarten till grade 8.
Okay.
So we are increasing every year. So now we have it up to grade 8.
Since how many years this
13
is?
13 years.
13 years. Wow, that's really a great accomplishment you got in your life. Very nice. So how did you get here in your life after having so many responsibilities, you know, taking camps, doing multi-language, you know, classes, and you have so many responsibilities since your husband is president of Vishakhapatnam. As we also know, you're very busy. How did you get this in your life? How did you come to this point in your life that you got so busy with things, you know?
I very easily get inspired by whatever I see around and I'm very enthusiastic to implement it in my life and I pick up things and I start
very quickly
I start doing it. So that's got me into so many departments. You know? Because, I got inspired by the school preaching. I did that. Then I thought that summer camp brought me, so I should do summer camp. So I started summer camp.
Don't you feel it's too much? Sometime.
No, it's blissful.
Wow, that's a great...
It's blissful. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have so many things to do, you know. I mean, at one point, you know, sometime I remember maybe 15 years back when we were in the US, mm-hmm. in Atlanta for some time and then in Miami for some time. And then we came to Visakhapatnam in 1999. And at that time, since we had started from scratch, there was nobody in the temple. I was the pujari, the cook and the marketing. In Visakhapatnam.
Visakhapatnam.
When we started in 1999, the early stage. Because it was just me and my husband. We took a place on rent and we started the center. So it was like cook, come life membership maker, come marketing, come pujari, come everything, you know. So I used to become very busy. Then I had my elder son was just born. So many things I used to do. So at one point I felt that, I'm so busy with so many things. So I came to Mayapur. And then there was Bhagavatam class going on. So I asked from Sannyasi. So he said, yes, any questions? And I said, yes, I have a question. I'm getting so busy with so many services that I'm having no time for myself. So he asked me, so you want time for yourself means what? So you want time for Maya, is it?
Oh,
and
Krishna.
Then I thought, actually, it makes sense. Why do I need time for
myself? Yeah.
For what? Okay, this is how life should be. I think at the end of the day, when I touch my bed, I just sleep in 30 seconds because I'm tired whole day, doing so many. And there is no time for anything else. So that time, I just heard what he said. But I feel, I don't know if I'm exaggerating, but I feel now I had that realization that if actually you have even a little time, Maya will just creep in. It's always nice to keep yourself 24/7 busy with just
my
no
God
time.
With no time. Okay, what is your favorite quote from Srila Prabhupada's books or his letters? What is that most favorite to you, which you want to tell it to us and our listeners?
I think I like everything about what Srila Prabhupada says. Like as I told you, I get inspired by everything. So I wouldn't be able to say, okay, this is one thing that I like. Just about everything that I read every day, I feel, this is something that, for today, my vitamin for the day. Become so happy. This is what I read today, or this is what I heard today from Srila Prabhupada.
But still something that is there that you want to say to everybody. Something. Usually everybody will have something which is their best.
I think I basically am very much inspired by the way Srila Prabhupada explains everything so simply.
Simple.
The way he puts it, and especially his examples, and the little short stories that he puts in between. So I think that inspires me a lot. Even if something is very difficult, the way he will explain it, and especially his purports are so very interesting, So I feel really inspired by that. And his way of dealing with the devotees, his compassion, and certain pastimes of Srila Prabhupada that I keep reading on regular basis. In fact, I had once done a 14-hour session on Srila Prabhupada, 26 qualities.
14?
14 hours, yeah.
14.
14 hours.
Oh my God, that's
so
amazing.
I did it in parts. that was so inspiring. The way he deals, the 26 qualities that we see in Srila Prabhupada, the way he deals with each and every individual on a personal basis, giving them so much love and affection. There was one incident that happened in Visakhapatnam when Srila Prabhupada had come there.
Prabhupada went to Visakhapatnam.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
In February 1972. He was there with his whole entourage of devotees. And everybody likes to walk with Srila Prabhupada. He was to have this morning walk on the beaches. So once one devotee after Mangal Arati, he was chanting and waiting that once Prabhupada comes out, I'll follow him to the beach. But probably he just dozed off and Prabhupada just left and he didn't realize. And by the time he opened his eyes, he saw Prabhupada is already there on the beach, walking. So he ran without wearing footwears. He just ran. And in the Vizag beach, there are many big stones and boulders and all.
Okay.
So by the time he reached Prabhupada, he was like, because it's paining.
It's hurting.
It's hurting him. So, and then finally he reached. And then Prabhupada said, what happened? Why didn't you wear your footwear? So he said, Prabhupada, when I see you, all the pain is gone, Then Prabhupada said, very gravely, is it? Then why not you take a knife and cut your throat, Because you said, when you see me, there is no pain.
No pain.
And then Prabhupada very gravely said that there are already many austerities prescribed in the scriptures. Don't create your own. Don't create your own. Don't create new ones. Go and wear your footwear and come back. So I like that point that, you know, unnecessary on our own, we should not try to create something new. Simply follow whatever Srila Prabhupada has given, you know. Mm-hmm. Like he said, 16 rounds. So yeah, that is fine. Sometimes we may try to overdo things. And then after some time, we can't continue. Instead of trying to do something extraordinary, better to do ordinary consistently. This is what I like from Srila Prabhupada. Whatever we are doing on a regular basis, better to do it steadily, with stability, consistently. Mm-hmm. That will finally make us reach somewhere.
Okay. Did you find any challenging situation in your life? Like usually when we are in some, you know, services completely, like you have been doing so many services and you are preaching, you are having so many responsibilities, as we know. So did you find anything very challenging? You can't get it through it, or how is it like?
Don't ask me this question. How much time you have for the interview? Tell me, because I can tell you what, maybe 108 stories. Because, you know, I think every devotee, if they cannot become a devotee unless they face a challenge. Because you simply learn so many things from that. It's like a sculptor, you know, sculpting a statue. Unless there are problems and challenges, we won't become a beautiful devotee. We face a lot of challenges.
And in the beginning of Vishakhapatnam.
Oh my God. I mean,
yeah, you can say something about that.
I can tell you
beginning.
one incident. I can tell you, myself and my husband, we wanted to build a beautiful big temple in Vishakhapatnam. For that, we had approached the collector. My husband used to regularly go and meet the district officer where our file is. You know how it is in India.
Yes.
There is a lot of red tapeism. And so the things were not moving. And he was consistently, you know, behind, moving that file from one table to another, requesting the officers and all. So my husband, his Shiksha Guru was Surabhi Maharaj, who was also known as Vishwakarma of ISKCON.
Okay.
In Delhi. He has built temples like Bombay and Vrindavan. So my husband, during his young age, he was trained under Surabhi Maharaj. So he was very good. He's very good in architecture. So even though we hadn't got the land yet, we had a daily routine, every Saturday, weekend routine. On Saturdays, we used to park our car there just outside the land. And he used to hold my hand and we both used to walk on the whole land. And he used to tell me his master plan. This will be the altar. This will be the temple.
Every day?
Every Saturday.
Every Saturday.
Okay. This will be our guest house. This is how our temple will be. And we used to enjoy that routine and then come back. After that, we came to Vrindavan. I was supposed to take Brahman Diksha. Okay. We never stay in Vrindavan for a long time because we have responsibilities in Vaisak. But this time, because of my Brahman Diksha and all, we stayed for 15-20 days. After that, when I came back to Vishakhapatnam, I got sick. I got cough and cold and all. So for some time, we couldn't go to our Saturday routine. After 1.5 months, we were all back to normal routine. So we went. So when we went there, we see that already a boundary wall is getting constructed. The land has already been given to somebody else.
Oh.
And we were like, what is this happening? So we went and spoke with those mason who are making the wall. Excuse me, what is this you are doing?
Yeah.
Well, this land belongs to, you know, so and so. So we said, no, this is our land. Then the mason said, sir, I'm just a laborer. If you come and argue with me, it is no use. Please go and ask, why are you arguing and talking to us? That was a Saturday, mind you, Saturday. So immediately we drove back to the collector office. So I'm waiting inside the car and my husband is trying to meet the collector. What happened to the land? But he's not allowing inside. The secretary said, meeting is going on, sir, you sit down.
Okay.
So 1 hour, 2 hours, he's sitting. He's not allowing inside.
Okay.
Then finally the collector's secretary, he signed my husband that come outside. My husband came outside and he whispered, sir, I know for what you came. Everything is already over, whatever is supposed to happen. I don't think you can get that land anymore. You forget it, try for something else. Because the collector, in fact, wrote a letter to the government saying that ISKCON is not interested in that land.
Oh.
So we are allotting it, you know. So since it's a podcast, I shouldn't go into much details.
Yeah.
But then whatever happened. Now my husband was like, what is this? You know, we have been pursuing this land for a long time now.
Yeah, it's all yours.
So then immediately we both drove to Simhachalam. There is a Narsimhadev temple on the hill in Vishakhapatnam, which is very famous, the ancient temple, where Prahlad Maharaj has also come after retiring, you know. So we immediately went there. We prayed to Narsimhadev, brought Narsimhadev's Tulasi. brought Narasimhadev's Charanamritam Abhishekam water, and then we immediately again drove back to the land. Both of us together, we put everywhere tulasi and water, and we prayed to Narasimhadev, "You have to protect Jesus. Your land. This is your land."
Yeah.
So now my husband said, "Okay, now we have asked for the Lord help, but now we need to also help ourselves."
Exactly.
So he dropped me back, and he went to the railway station in a general compartment without any ticket, and took a train to Hyderabad.
Okay.
So there to meet the officers there, you know, that what has happened and how can this, because we have never said that we don't want the land.
Yeah.
So he was in Hyderabad. He left for Hyderabad. Mm-hmm. Next day is Sunday. Sunday we're supposed to have Sunday feast.
Okay.
Sunday love feast program. Now there is no speaker because my husband has gone to Hyderabad.
Okay.
So I am the default speaker. There is nobody else to speak. So okay. I was speaking. So as usual, there are very few people because we just had beginning.
Just started.
Some few people were there. So as usual, you know, I gave some class and all. And after that, one very sophisticated looking gentleman walked in. He was in white shirt, full sleeve, a black pant and all. And then after the class is over, he said, "If you don't mind, can I speak with you for a minute?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Wherever I go, I see beautiful ISKCON centers, big temples. How come in Vizag is just a small rented house? Is this ISKCON or
something else?
Just you as a family, you're
trying to
trying
do a program.
To do something."
Yeah.
Then immediately I started saying, "We have a beautiful 3 acres land on the beach, you know, and we're going to construct a temple. I know what's happening, but I just, you know, and we're going to construct a temple, this and that." Then he immediately said, "Oh, that's a good news because, you know, I'm connected to the revenue minister. He's my brother-in-law.
Wow.
So that is so nice that you have a beautiful piece of land. Probably I'll try and help and, you know, donate something." Then I thought, this is a time to speak the truth.
Yeah.
So then I said, "Well, actually, we don't have any land. Actually, you know, this is what happened, and husband is in Hyderabad. So can you help?" He said, "Yes, I can help."
Wow.
So at those days, my husband had a Nokia cell phone.
Yeah,
and
this gentleman
had also a cell. So I told that, "If you don't mind, can you dial?" Because I didn't have a cell phone. "Okay. Can you dial my husband's number?" And then, you know, I spoke with my husband and I said, "Prabhu, somebody is here. It looks like he can help." And then I connected. And then he said, "Well, I think I can definitely help you, you know." And then my husband came back.
Okay, so he didn't speak anything in
Hyderabad? Nothing. He just came back.
He just came back.
And that's it. And then rest was history. How this gentleman suddenly walked in, I don't know, Prabhupada sent him.
Yeah, Narasimhadev's kripa, you know, his blessing.
That's it. Of course, it was not that was the end of the struggle, but that was end of episode one of the struggle.
Yeah, wow, that's really inspiring how you tried all your best efforts in getting that land. So the temple is under construction or done?
Oh, yes. No, it's
okay, under construction.
In 2025, we plan
to open
That's
it.
Our dream project. And both of us have worked really, very hard to see it actually happening. Right from getting the land, to getting the money for the land, to getting the money for the construction.
It's just making me remind of Prabhupada's story, how he got the Juhu land.
Yes.
That all that, you know, struggle and all that. I also want to know one thing which inspires me personally about your language, because I'm trying to learn different language and again I forget, again I come back to, you know. So I just, because very recently I came to know that you know so many languages, including Bengali. Because some people, like when we are in Mayapur, we have more people speaking in Bengali language, but that's not the fluent Bengali, some kind of tribal Bengali. And you know, everybody can't learn that. It's really not easy. So I have seen you have catched up so many languages, Gujarati, Malayalam, I think South Indian, Telugu, so many other languages, especially Bengali. When you're in South Indian or when you're in Gujarati, it's very difficult to catch Bengali. How did you get that? Like, I personally want to know it.
That's a funny story, I'll tell you. In 98, when after getting married, we went to the US.
Okay.
And my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they were citizens, in US citizens living in Atlanta. So when we first walked in their house after getting married, I was observing that every day evening, you know, during the dinner time, when the whole family takes prasadam together, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law are talking with my husband in Bengali. I cannot understand what they are talking.
Oh, means your husband is Bengali.
My husband is Bengali.
Okay.
My husband is Bengali and very much from West Bengal, born and brought up here in Bankura. And I cannot understand Bengali. And I'm just newly married. It's making me very uncomfortable that they're going on talking something which I don't understand. And in between, they keep saying, "Maach khane, maach khane, maach khane." And I was wondering, I married a devotee and these guys always talk about meat eating, meat eating, meat eating.
Oh my God.
It's not that my parents didn't arrange my marriage. It's in love marriage. And I'm,
okay.
So I'm really conscious, like, you know, did I get the right guy? I mean, why is he always talking about meat eating with his family? You know?
So you understood this maaj khane means meat eating.
Fish, eating non-veg, okay. Maaj khana, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, my maaj khane, maaj khane.
Okay.
Then I asked my sister-in-law one day, you know, I mean, getting all my courage together, what is maaj khane? Then she said, oh, maaj khane means in between. Then I thought, oh my God, such a big Vaishnava prad, I don't understand the language. And I think so many things because I don't understand the language. That's it. I thought I'm going to learn this language, you know.
How long it took you to learn this language?
I would say I didn't actually, you know, had a tutor or sat and learn.
Okay.
But what I started doing is consciously hearing when people talk. And that's it. And that's how I picked up, you know, whatever they are hearing. Try and ask questions.
Okay.
Like, what does this mean? What does this mean? In fact, it's funny if I tell you, I didn't even knew to speak to Telugu. I learned it while giving class. So my classes are like, you know, it's to be really funny because I speak about Bhagavatam in the class and I keep asking the audience, so what do you say, tell this in Telugu? How do you say this in Telugu? So how do you say? And that's how I used to somehow complete my 45 minutes, 1 hour class. But yeah, okay. I did it. And now I can say I'm pretty fluent in Telugu. I speak pretty well. I speak in 7 national Telugu channels.
What are they? Oh, 7 national Telugu channels.
Yeah, I speak and
what are the languages besides Telugu?
So English, look, see, English everybody knows.
English,
right?
Everybody knows. Exactly.
Telugu I learnt it because it's my Guru Datta Desh, Vishakhapatnam. We were sent there by Guru Maharaj.
Okay.
And unless you know the language, you can't hurt, you can't touch people's heart. So I picked up Telugu. And Gujarati is my mother tongue because I'm a Gujarati from Bombay. And from my husband, I learned Bengali. So that way I speak English, Hindi, Telugu, Gujarati and Bengali. And all these 5 languages I get.
Don't you get mixed sometimes?
I do.
Mixed
because there are certain words in Bengali and Telugu which are same but have completely opposite meanings. For example, Parishkar. Parishkar is cleaning.
Yeah.
In Bengali, but Parishkar in Telugu means solution. Give me a solution for this problem, you know, Parishkar.
Parishkar in Hindi means?
Parishkar. No, yeah. I don't know what does it mean in Hindi, but this word Parishkar is in Bengali and Telugu are having opposite meanings.
Okay.
So sometimes, you know, it takes a little time for me to process when I'm in a flow of speaking, you know, that, yeah, because I may just, you know.
Yeah,
but if I'm doing it one language for 2 days consecutively, I don't make a mistake. But during COVID times, it was like morning I'm giving a class in Bengali, afternoon I'm speaking in Telugu, evening I'm speaking with some Portuguese devotees and I'm speaking in English and they are translating in Portuguese language. So sometimes I used to like take a minute to process like what I want to say. But if 2 days I speak, then I can speak fluently. I don't have to stop or pause for the word. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. So what is you have any messages for the young girls here? Means there are many women who are watching, young girls are listening. I have heard you're giving so many classes to the women, girls. And I recently saw you are giving a class on Zoom 1 or 2 years back. I'm sorry because I don't remember. It was a class to the youth girls you were giving and they had so many problems and you're giving solution. I'm surprised that you have so many solutions with you. Is it like you get it by yourself or how is it like, Mataji? Like whenever they ask any questions, you have answer to every questions which I have seen from the girls especially. So how is this coming up?
I think it's Guru Kripa, Prabhupada's Kripa. Guru Maharaj is using me as an instrument. And one thing is also experience because you meet so many people and you're regularly talking to them. So, you know, and then also it's a girl problem, right? So you have been there, done that, passed through it. You know what's happening in their mind because you've also been through that teenage things, you know. So it's very easy to relate to them, you know, because you understand what must be happening to them. Yeah,
That's great. So how can our listeners support you or, you know, get connected to you? Would you like to say something about it?
Connected to me?
Yeah, our listeners.
Only through classes because email and WhatsApp and all becomes too overwhelming because I get so many mails every day. So it's very difficult for me to answer them all. So the only way is that through classes. And if at all they have any questions, they can send an email. But don't expect a reply at least before 1 month. It takes a little time.
Oh, 1 month.
Because it takes a lot of mails I got on a regular basis. We have lots of broadcast groups and we are connected through social media handles with so many people. We try to take their questions via their comment boxes if they have any questions. And I have few devotees who take those questions and then they send it to me and I try to cover it up in my next class. If there are many questions coming in the same group, you know, then I will address those questions in my next class. But I would admit we're not that efficient. We're not able to satisfy people. Mm-hmm. The number of mails and WhatsApps and messages come. We are not able to respond appropriately. I would really like some help. I don't know in future if I can have some help and a more efficient team who could satisfy everybody. Because what happens is that people from all five different languages are reaching to me. So it becomes a little bit for me to respond to them. It becomes too heavy, the mails and all. They are too heavy. So even emails, we have different email addresses for different language, but it still doesn't help. There is too much load.
Okay. So, Mataji, before we end this podcast here, would you like to give some, you know, inspiring words to our listeners or something about Radio Mayapur, or how you like coming here? How did you feel coming here? Some small message to all our listeners.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here, and I wasn't aware of
something like this
exists in Mayapur. I'm sorry because of my ignorance, because my Mayapur trips are so short and crispy, you know, because I'm like, you know, in the middle of all the service in Vizag, and then it's like my little vacation, spiritual vacation. So I'm here for like 3 days max.
So it's your favorite spot to visit, Mayapur?
Of course. Wow. Or any day, Sridham, Mayapur ki jai. So yeah, so whenever I'm here, like it's like, you know, Mangala, Darshan, and then meeting devotees, visiting some places, Prasadam, and you know how, I mean, I don't know how the 3 days pass. It's like just a blink of the eye and it's all over. And I'm already leaving tomorrow early morning. So you know, it's like that, you know.
What is a short message you would like to give
To the devotees? This is very wonderful, Radio Mayapur, and I'm very happy that you are connected to this. And Shravanam is the only thing that keeps us alive in Krishna consciousness. It's the oxygen of Krishna consciousness. So whatever it is, whether it's Radio Mayapur audios or YouTube or for any other thing, this is the best way in Kali Yuga to be connected to each other and keep hearing whatever situation you are. Because we didn't have proper Shravanam in our last life, that's why we had to take birth this life. At least we should have a proper Shravanam this life so that we can go back home.
Back to Godhead,
you know. Because this is, Shravanam is the way Krishna is calling us. Just like a mother calls a child when the child is playing outside. Hey, come back. You know, this is the way Krishna is calling. So yeah, we should regularly be connected in whatever forums, you know, whatever handles. Krishna Katha is available. And Association of Devotees is available. We should take advantage of it, you know. So it's very wonderful. I'm very happy that the devotees are connected to this channel and I wish them all the best. And please keep me in your prayers and I'll keep you in mine.
Thank you so much. It was really very inspiring, Mataji. So we will end here. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sridham Mayapur ki jai.
You're listening to Radio Mayapur with the best devotional, meditation, kirtan music, and inspirational podcast. This is Radio Mayapur.